Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. We had a great response to last week's episode with Beth Seifert on generational sin. She was our special guest, and many of our listeners kindly wrote to let us know how helpful that episode was, and we're so glad that it was a blessing to you. Now, if you follow us on social media, and if you don't, by the way, you can find all our social media links at awordfitlyspoken.life. But if you do follow us on social media, you know that from time to time, we ask you for suggestions for show topics, and we did that recently. So today's topic is one that was suggested by one of our listeners, and it is about prayer.
That's right, Amy. Our listeners gave us lots of great suggestions. We put them all in a list. Don't worry, we've got them all. Yep. And a lot of those we will be tackling in the future. But prayer is one that many of us seem to struggle with, at least from time to time. A lot of us have questions about prayer, like, what is prayer? How can I be sure I'm doing it right? How can I be more faithful to my prayer life?
Yeah, and we want to do our best to answer some of those questions tonight, but let's just start off by saying that prayer is kind of like riding a bicycle. You can have somebody explain to you how to ride a bicycle, and you can read books about riding a bicycle. You can have discussion groups about riding a bicycle, but in order to actually learn how to ride a bicycle, you have to get on it and ride it. You have got to learn by doing, right? And that's what prayer is like. You just have to start doing it and keep at it until it comes more naturally.
That's right. It's kind of like practicing. You know, just listening to this program is not going to catapult you into a spectacular prayer life. I mean, what was that slogan that Nike used to have? Just do it.
Yeah.
And yet, when it comes to prayer, there comes a point where you have to stop talking about it and reading about it and listening to teaching about it and just do it. So let's see if Amy and I can help you get to that point tonight. You know, when I was a little girl, I remember one of my Sunday school teachers saying, prayer is just talking to God. And with all the complex, confusing, convoluted, even conflicting resources out there today on prayer, that sounds rather simplistic to our adult ears, but it's still the best definition of prayer that I've ever heard. Prayer is indeed simply talking to God. And along with studying God's word and being a faithful member of a local church, it's one of the three legs of the stool that we call sanctification or growth in Christ. Yet prayer is the leg that tends to be most neglected in our churches, our families, and even our personal walk with the Lord.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. You know, Michelle, why don't we want to just sit down and just talk, no frills, nothing fancy, just talk to the most interesting, powerful, loving, and kind being in the universe? If you received an invitation to sit down and chat with the president, your favorite celebrity, or a long-lost loved one, oh my goodness, you would jump at the chance, right? And I would too. So what is it about our broken brains and hardened hearts that causes us to say, eh, not today, or, you know, to a simple talk with our king? I mean, my goodness, I think it's because those broken brains have learned some unbiblical things about prayer, and those hardened hearts, maybe we've got some ungodly attitudes toward prayer. And here's one of those ungodly attitudes. Maybe we don't need God enough. You know, us Western Christians are pretty prosperous and self-sufficient people, and we don't have to cry out to God to provide food every day so we don't starve. We have jobs and grocery stores, right? And we don't have to pray that we won't be arrested for reading our Bibles or going to church, because that's not happening where we live, or at least not yet, so stay tuned on that. But, you know, except for the most dire of circumstances, we don't have to plead with God to heal. We have doctors and hospitals and medicine. Now, don't get me wrong, those are all tremendous blessings, but one of the pitfalls of being blessed is that we start trusting the blessing rather than trusting in the blesser. And when that happens, we tend to pray less often and more superficially. Daily prayer is part of our battle to be dependent on God.
That's so true, Amy. You know, as we record this, we're just a few days away from Independence Day here in America. And in America, we place so much emphasis on independence, being a self-made man, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. I did it my way, you know, like Frank Sinatra. But that's not the mindset that God wants us to have when it comes to our relationship with Him. He wants us to be totally dependent on Him. And coming to Him every day in prayer, recognizing that He's our provider, that's a great way to cultivate that mindset of dependence on Him. Now, another issue that we can struggle with when it comes to prayer is that we tend to be idolaters. We put other lesser things in the place of spending time with God. My husband's uncle used to say, "You do what you want to do." In other words, you spend your time and resources on the things you value most. You know, when he started telling me that, "You do what you want to do," I would say, "No, you know, I don't want to do the dishes." And he'd say, "Well, then why do you do them?" And I would say, "Well, because I don't want to have a dirty kitchen." "Well, then that's what you want to do. You don't want to have a dirty kitchen, so you want to keep it cleaned up." So it really is true that when everything boils down to you do what you want to do. I'm a type A personality. I'm a workaholic, get her done, ain't got time to die kind of gal. And one of the reasons I neglect my own prayer time is that I don't want to take time out of my busy schedule to stop and do nothing but pray. When I operate that way, though, I'm demonstrating that I don't want to pray, that I love something else, namely my own schedule and my own agenda, more than I love obeying God and spending time with Him. And that's idolatry.
And what's really interesting is that when you determine to obey God in that situation by putting aside your own agenda and schedule and spending time in prayer, even though your flesh is pulling you the other way, it actually grows your love for God and helps crucify the idols of your heart. You know, another reason we can struggle in our prayer lives is that we don't trust God and His prescribed methods. We want to do things our way, not His way. When we're in need, we don't want to commune with God. When we want to grow in holiness, God's way is for us to pray, not to climb the highest mountain or offer some amazing sacrifice or fulfill a bunch of items on a checklist, but just pray. But, you know, to our fleshly hearts, this doesn't compute. It's not enough. We've got to conjure up our own efforts and do something worthy of God acting on our behalf, right? You know, our hearts don't trust God enough to simply take Him at His word and bring all our requests to Him and believe that He will take care of us. We don't pray because we don't trust God to follow through on His word.
That's right. God's way just seems too simple for us. We've got to get in there and make things nice and complicated so we'll feel like we're actually doing something. You know, it's kind of like what we were talking about before. We don't want to be totally dependent on God and His ways. We want to be independent and do it my way. Well, something else that can sometimes trip us up when it comes to prayer is that we get confused about what it means to be fervent in prayer. James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." But what does that actually mean, you know, when you think about it? Well, fervency in prayer is qualitative, not quantitative. Sometimes we get it into our heads that being fervent in prayer means we have to constantly voice that prayer over and over and over in order to get God to give in and do what we want Him to do. That's the kind of mindset we can have. But God's provision isn't dependent on our prayers. Like Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So in other words, you could stop praying right this minute for that thing that you desperately want and never pray about it again, and God is not going to forget that that's what you want or move it to a lower priority level on His prayer answering list. And He's not going to punish you by denying your request simply because you stopped praying about it. I mean, think about it. There are things that God blesses us with that we have never spent one moment praying for. And then there are things that we stop praying for that God finally gives us years later. And then there are things that we pray constantly for that God says no about. God is going to do what's best for you and what brings Him the most glory. And that doesn't hinge solely on whether you pray about that specific thing every day or not. Fervency doesn't mean repetition. It means an intense trust and dependence on God to do what is right in His eyes in response to your prayer.
You know, it just keeps coming back to our dependence on God, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Michelle, one of the questions you mentioned earlier that people often have about prayer is, how can I be sure I'm doing it right? Well, one way is to avoid these false teachings about prayer. And I can give you an earful here, because first, despite what you may have heard, prayer is not a two-way conversation. That's what I was taught years ago. I talked to God, he listened, and then I was supposed to wait in silence for him to answer back. But that's not biblical prayer. And by the way, he didn't answer back, not at least vocally. But we're never told in Scripture to listen for God's voice. Not ever. Instead, we are to talk to God through prayer, and then he talks to us through his all-sufficient word. Yes, that word sufficient is in there. Because while you're praying, the Holy Spirit, you know, he may remind you of scripture that's relevant to what you're praying about, or bring to mind someone you should pray for, or you might think of a way that you can help or bless someone, but prayer is not a dialogue. You don't say your piece and then sit there and wait for God to say something back. And that's often called listening prayer or contemplative prayer, and that's unbiblical. And the same goes for soaking prayer, sozo prayer, etc. In fact, if you see the word prayer preceded by any adjective that's not found in Scripture, it is most likely not biblical. And we're going to have some research links on our show notes about those snares to watch out for. And prayer also doesn't require any special accessories. You don't need to draw a circle to stand in, or build a war room, blow a shofar, or stroke a prayer cloth, or lay your hands on a prayer list or picture or object. Scripture doesn't tell us to do any of these things, and many of them are blatantly unbiblical. And one more false teaching about prayer: prayer is not about you doing something. It's about humbly beseeching God to do something. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, does God say that the purpose of prayer is for us to assert any power over anything through our words. He doesn't give us the authority to bind Satan or demons or anything else, or decree or declare anything as though we could make something happen by doing so. These are false and unbiblical teachings of the heretical Word of Faith and New Apostolic Reformation movements. And again, more on that in our show notes.
Right. We've got lots of good resources on those things. And here's another one that we might not think of as false teaching about prayer, but maybe a false belief about prayer that we don't even realize we have. Prayer isn't a letter to Santa Claus. I've got another little personal story here. I just noticed I'm giving a lot of those tonight, but y'all are learning a lot about me. Back in the stone ages of my childhood, there used to be this thing called the Sears catalog. And I'm sure people who are around our age, Amy, will remember this. And for you kiddies, it was kind of like Amazon, but on paper. Every year, a few months before Christmas, they would publish their wish book edition that had all the toys in it for Christmas. And my sister and I would go through that catalog with a magic marker and circle all the things we wanted for Christmas, and then hand it back to my parents, hoping that this year we'd get everything we asked for. And we asked for practically everything. But if this is how you approach prayer, you're doing it wrong. God is not looking for you to provide him with a list of stuff that your greedy little heart desires so he can wrap it up in a bow and leave it under your tree. He is not a wish fulfillment center. He's not Amazon. He's God.
That's right. And here are a few more that could possibly fall under the category of false teaching about prayer, but these all have to do with the language we use when we're praying. Now, maybe you've heard someone say that she has a private prayer language, or you've watched people pray in tongues, but having a private prayer language or speaking in tongues as it's practiced today has zero basis in Scripture. None. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer, and there wasn't one single handa shanda habada habada yabadabadu in his instruction to them. Nothing in Scripture says your prayers will be more meaningful to you or more likely to be heard by God if they're in gibberish than in your native real language. On the other end of the spectrum, if you grow up fundamentalist or old school, you might feel like you have to use King James lingo when you pray. You don't. If you want to use these and thous when you pray, you can, but you don't have to. You can use the same vocabulary with respectful and pure speech, of course, that you would use when talking to a friend or a loved one. And lastly, if you are tacking the phrase "in Jesus' name" onto your decreeing, declaring, and binding and rebuking as some sort of way to harness the power of God into making your words a reality, you're breaking the third commandment and taking God's name in vain, because you're doing the same thing witches and pagans do when they use incantations and cast spells. In Jesus' name isn't the Christian version of abracadabra. Now, you can end your prayer in Jesus' name if you want to, as long as you understand that it's not required to have God hear you or to give your prayer a power boost. To pray in Jesus' name means to pray in what God wants, not what we want will be done.
That's so true. And that brings us to our last point about prayer. Prayer isn't about getting what we want. It's about God getting what He wants. I mean, we tend to think of prayer as a means to an end that centers around us. It's a time to tell God what we want and what we need, and for Him to fulfill those wants and needs, and that's that. That's how we think about prayer. But is that how God thinks about prayer? God tells us to come to Him, to present our requests to Him, ask Him for daily bread, forgiveness, give thanks to Him, and a number of other things. But we also know that He is sovereign. He already knows, like we said before, He already knows what we need and what's best for us, and He does what He pleases. So if God knows better than we do what we need, and if He's going to do whatever He wants anyway, why bother praying, right? Well, we say things like that because we think that the point of prayer is to get God to do what we want Him to do. But it's not. The point of prayer is for God to get us to do what He wants us to do. He wants us to pray not because He needs a honey-do list, but because coming back to Him time and time again in prayer teaches us to depend on Him and trust Him. It strengthens our understanding of His power and sovereignty. It grows us in humility and submission. It conforms our will and our wants to His, and it reminds us of our sin and the cross. It keeps us from taking God's blessings for granted as we thank Him and praise Him, and it helps us to want what God wants more than what we want.
Absolutely. Ultimately, Michelle, prayer is not about what we want God to do for us. It's about what He wants to do in us. So make that daily time communing with the Lord your highest priority, ladies, because when God works through prayer to conform you to the image of Christ, it's amazing. And that's not something you want to miss out on.
That's right. It's a beautiful work of God what He does through prayer. And until next time, bow your head, close your eyes, and just talk to God and walk worthy.